Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you because you are able to lift us up to another dimension and realm of holiness.
Amen.
Lord, we are believing you that you make our lives practical in terms of holy living. As we listen to the perfect law of liberty together, Lord, we pray you help us to see ourselves in the mirror of the world and make necessary amendments. We don't want to be a forgetful era. We don't want to deceive ourselves. But we want to take to divine correction. Speak to us, O God. Open our eyes to understand how you want us to live. Divine prescription for a successful life. We thank you for your answer that prayer. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Have your seat in the presence of the Most High God. Holiness and transparency among brethren. Holiness and transparency among brethren. The message before us is very important. It's really the heart of God. It's the desire of our Heavenly Father for all of us. I'm sure you are here for a business. And if you've forgotten or you are not aware yet, the theme of our conference, of our retreat this year is the dawn of a new beginning. Some things are necessary before we can start a new beginning. Some things are important before a new door can be opened into us. Too many of us are tired of our own lives. We are tired of our failure. We are tired of our incapability in the spirit realm, financially, in our career. God is saying, it's not impossible for me. I have the power to do it. I have the power to make you live a victorious Christian life. You're tired of rising up and falling down. You are tired of living a shameful life. You are tired of living an inconsistent life. God is saying, I can do it. But one thing is necessary, holiness, holiness, holiness. For us to grow, holiness is important. And we need transparency among ourselves as believers. Let's turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I read from verse 1 to 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 to 8. Come with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 to 8. God bless you as you are opening the pages of your scripture. And as many of us that have electronic scripture, God bless you as you are pressing the keyboard and the button. But make sure it doesn't lead to Facebook, from 1 Thessalonians to Facebook. There's no Facebook in the scripture. Amen. No Twitter in the scripture. Let's make it holy. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testify, for God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. We eat therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. I'd like us to read verse 7 together. Verse 7 of that scripture, I'd like us to read together. After the count of 3, 1, 2, 3.
For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness.
Amen. God has not called us to uncleanness, but he has called us unto holiness. He has called us unto holiness. The purpose of this retreat is that God wants to establish a new beginning for us in his presence. He wants to establish a new beginning, a new life. He wants to establish us on a new, a higher altitude. But one thing is essential before that will proceed, and that is holiness. Holiness is an essential attribute to be possessed before we can enter, before we can dwell together to enjoy the blessing of God, to enjoy the blessing of this new dawn. we are deceiving ourselves if we think we can come as we are, we can do whatsoever thing we like, and then we expect the blessings of God to proceed in our life. Shall we abound in sin that grace be multiplied? It's impossible. It's impossible. There is no way we put one leg in worldliness and the other leg in God's kingdom, and we expect God to back us up. It doesn't happen that way. God wants to be bold, calling us his children. Do you know God is ready to support as many who will live their life for him, as many whose life makes God to be happy in heaven. God is also happy about them. He wants us to be solely his, to declare our life for him. Brethren, if we want to come to the presence of God, one thing is needed, holiness. Holiness is essential. Come with me to the book of Psalm 24, verse 2 and 3. Psalm 24, verse 2 and 3. If indeed we want to move to the next stage in life, we want to experience new dawn, we want to enjoy our fellowship together, we want to enjoy our congregational worship, one thing is needed. Psalm 24, verse 3 of Psalm 24. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? And you see, that verse ends with a question mark, which means it's only one answer. You know, it is not such what we do in our days that the teacher will ask a question and we say there are so many answers because nowadays are innovative. But in this case, it's only a single answer when God asks you a question. Who shall stand in his holy place? Only those that have clean hands. You see the answer in verse 4. He that hath clean hands and pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. These are the people that can appear before God. Except we want to deceive ourselves, without holiness and righteousness, it is impossible to please God. We can see God, we can please him. There is no way we can claim the benefit, the promises we have in the scripture without holiness. Holiness is like a springboard to our reception of the blessing which God has marked for us. There are so many things God wants to give us during this conference, but holiness is the key thing. You can't ascend to the hill of God. As a congregation, there's no way we can worship together without holiness. Holiness is a key thing. You know, it's the appropriate quality of a believer's life, of a believer's conduct. It makes a believer to look like God. Psalm 15 verse 1. The book of Psalm 15 verse 1. Holiness is key. Holiness is essential. Holiness cannot be substituted. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And verse 2. He that walketh uprightly, he that walketh righteousness, speaketh the truth in his heart. These are the people that can appear before God. These are the people that will come to God in prayer and he will hear them. Sin is always standing between God and man. Sin is the hindrance that makes a man not to enjoy the purpose of God for his life. Holiness is that which makes us presentable. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, you know, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. This is your reasonable service. What makes our life reasonable before God is holy living. What makes my body reasonable before God is holiness. What makes my heart reasonable before God, acceptable before God, is what? Is holiness. Push aside holiness, then every other thing is noise. Some of us maybe you are a little bit into physics, you understand what they call signal and noise. When you are communicating with God in holiness, it becomes full signal. God can hear you directly. But when the holiness is out of it, it becomes what? Noise. How many of us, someone is calling us and you can't even hear? You say, brother, can you please talk loud? I said, I'm talking at the top of my voice. I can't hear you. We can't hear each other. Because it is only noise. He's sending signal from his own end, but the medium is not working very well. The technology is not working very well. The same thing happens in the gathering of brethren. in a house which claims to be a Christian home, when holiness is missing in the life of a believer, when holiness is missing, all the signal you are pushing with the whole of your effort is just noise. Heaven can't hear it because it's not reasonable, because it's not acceptable. That which makes our life acceptable before God. You know how many of us, we are wonderfully dressed, beautifully dressed. You go to the market and you say you're looking for a particular suit. If it's not having this pocket, I'm not having it. It's not having the right quality. If it's not having this shape, I'm not taking it home because it's not of the right quality. The same thing in the life of a man. No matter how poor you are, how handsome you are, how beautiful you are, how educated you are, you know, how good you are before men, if holiness is missing, said, no, you can't appear before God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Holiness and transparency among brethren. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Matthew chapter 5, the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. See, but I'm having a clean dress. Everybody knows me. I put on white all the time. I polish my shoe. I'm a clean brother. I can appear before God. He's saying, no, that's not possible. Blessed are the pure in heart. The purity of our heart is very important before God. You know, how clean our heart is, how transparent our heart is. You know, so many people, they call themselves Christian, but their heart is more opaque than a solid material. You can't even see through their heart. Even when they talk, you have to read in between the lines. God is saying, you can't come before me. You can't see God. You can't see God. A man came to Jesus. How can I come into the kingdom? Except the man be born again. You can't see the kingdom of God. You can't even get there. We can't see God. If we are not living a holy life, we can't see God. We can't claim the benefit which is meant for believer. Brethren, do you know holiness is the nature of God? But thanks be unto God, because this nature is communicable. There are some natures of God that are not communicable. You can't get it. But glory be to God, it's a communicable nature. How? Just like you see a tall parent, the father is tall, the mother is tall, they give birth to a tall child. The same thing is genetics. It is spiritual genetics also. As long as you come into the kingdom, you can get that attribute, you can get that nature. God can communicate the attribute to you. Glory be to God, you can be holy. Glory be to God. Don't say it's impossible. In this generation, in this age, is it possible to live our holy life? Yes, it is. Tell yourself, yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. It's possible. It is the nature of God. It is not only that it's the nature of God and it's communicable. The truth is, God is ready to help you. Even though you feel it is difficult, even though people have told you it's really difficult to live a holy life, people told you deeper life, oh, that is difficult to be a Christian there. Tell yourself, it is not impossible for me.
It's not impossible for me.
Somebody told you, you will try your best and they will tell you, no, not that way, sister. Not that way, brother. That's not the way we do it here. People have told you it's impossible for you. It is possible because it is the nature of God and God is ready to pass it on to us. We have testimonies in the scripture. Enoch walked with God and he was no more. He lived that holy life. He lived a wonderful life. He lived a righteous life. God was so much pleased with him. So how can such a wonderful brother be taken away by death? How was taken away by himself? His life was so pleasing in the sight of God. He's a man of like passion, just like you and I. Elijah walked with God. He was a man of great passion. He was a great prophet. He lived a holy life. You can't go that way. I will take you in a chariot of fire. It won't be God. Remember, holiness is the nature of God. It is communicable. And God is ready. He has given us all that pertains to life and what? Godliness. God is ready to do all things to make you and I live a holy life. It's not impossible. it's not impossible. You know, it is not to be achieved by struggling. You know, holiness is not something you will struggle. You know, Jesus said, if you look at a woman lustfully, you have committed adultery or fornication in your heart. How can I do it now? I will struggle. Now I will buy a thick glasses. I can't see anything again. It is struggling. I have to struggle. You know, I will throw away my computer. If you are working in the office, they will sack you first. You say, I don't want to use the computer because I'm a holy brother. Computer, you see a lot of dirty things there. Brother, you go out of job very soon. And maybe the church is not rich enough to sponsor you. But you need divine surgery that will help you to get rid of that. It's not by struggling. It's not by makeup as well. No, it's not by makeup. I will make it up. Holiness is not by makeup, but true faith in God, obedience to the word of God, tight relationship with Holy Spirit. You know, it is wondrous that this distinguishing attribute of God can be shared with mortal man. Holiness is not a dead attribute of God, it's a very productive and fruitful attribute of God. Holiness is a very fruitful mother. H stands for humility. Holiness produces humility. Show me a holy brother, I'll show you a humble brother. He will not put himself first. He will not trample over others. His achievement doesn't matter. Even if he's a doctor and you call him brother, it doesn't matter for him. He's older than you, he feels, that is nothing. He's wealthier than you, he feels, that is nothing. Highly placed than you, he feels, that is nothing. He's ready to stoop low. That's holiness. Is the mother of humility, very productive and fruitful. Show me a Pharisee who claims to be holy, and I will tell you, no, I can't find humility in his life, because he looks down on others. When he goes to God, he says, God, I thank you because I'm better than this tax collector standing beside me. He has 100 saints, I've got just 2 saints. There's no humility in that. Humility. That's no fruit of holiness. Openness. Many of us do say I'm a very diplomatic person. You have to be careful with your diplomacy. At times, what we call diplomacy is lie covered, well painted lie. White lies, what we call so called white lies. Diplomacy. The simple thing you are trying to tell us is you can't read my lips, you can't just interpret my statement literally. I must tell you what I mean. You know, if English language is no longer comprehensive, just by verbal communication, something is wrong somewhere. If you have to tell us the meaning of what you mean, there's something is wrong somewhere. Holiness is not like that. Holiness is open. It is not a man of secrets. You say, I'm a man of many secrets. Wow, that's good. Be careful. Holiness is denying you because holiness is open, openness. He knows where things are, you know, how you can get things done, but he won't tell others. He prefers to go there several times and just be enjoying the benefits. He won't tell anybody. He said, because I'm holy, I don't talk with anybody. His holy brother is enjoying it all alone. Never open. Never open. He sees that you are suffering, that you need help, but you will not open up. He won't tell you. That's not holiness. Holiness is loyal, loyal, loyalty is loyal. If holiness is made the head of a group, it's also loyal to the overall leader. He's loyal at work, he's loyal at home, he's loyal in the house of God. If we are not loyal, holiness is not really part of our life. Integrity. Do you know, one of the things God loved in David was his integrity. He had integrity when he was leading, shepherding his father's flock. He could have sold some of his father's sheep and just turned the money into his pocket. But David was loyal. He had integrity. Integrity. I won't do this. He won't do that. He was straightforward. know, it preserves its integrity. Integrity is important. Newness, that's something we see in holiness as well. Newness of life, you know, newness of heart. It's like a child. You offend him, that was so painful, that was so embarrassing. Let's forget about it. Things are new again. You know, even keep grudges 10 years back. You offend him today and you start to count the offenses you've committed against him 10 years ago. Very good in memory when it comes to such. You did similar thing. Brother A said you did that same thing 8 years ago. I was told you did that to your dad 15 years back. Who told you? You know, newness. Holiness, forget about things that are gone, things that are new. The next thing holiness produces engagement. He's engaged for God. If you see a brother that tells you, I'm holy, and he comes to church with his Bible, he sits down, he goes home, he comes to church with the Bible, so he sits down, he goes home, I'm afraid that's not holiness. People who have lived holy life in the scripture were quite engaging. They engage in the house of God. They engage outside church. They bring people to church. They minister life to others. Quite engaged. Quite engaged. Holiness is also also gives birth to submission. Submit to authority. Don't say, oh, those leaders are unbelievers. I don't know who put them there. I'm not going to respect them. Remember, there's no one who can come into power, into authority, except God knows about it. It's our responsibility to submit, either to authority in the house of God, authority. In a family, there is a perfect structure of family. As we learned from the scripture, don't say we are in a different age, we are in a different part of the world. We run our family the way we like it, it's 50-50%. Oh, don't forget how the Bible wants us to have a family. Holiness is makes a man submissive, makes a woman submissive. Holiness is not selfish as well. Selflessness is not all about me. Everything comes to me. You know, in the wedding, you want to be the husband. Naming ceremony, you want to be the new baby. Even burial, you want to be the coffin. Self-centered, you just want to be at the center of the discussion. Huh? Celebrating with somebody who is just having his degree, you want to go back to high school. Huh? If you want to be in the kindergarten when they're having their graduation ceremony, you just want to be a pregnant woman. You are not ready to carry the pregnancy. Giving birth, you want to be the pregnant woman. You are a man. You can't be everything. Don't be selfish. Don't wish everything comes to you. That's not holiness. Holiness is not selfish. For holiness to be perfect in the sight of God, three things. We have to see it as the will of God. Holiness is not the will of man. Holiness is not the will of the Deeper Life Bible Church. Holiness is not the will of our pastor. Holiness is the will of God. Number two, we have to see holiness as a way of life. A way of life. How many of us will say, I don't like my face. If I'm going to my office, I'll put my face at home. No. It goes between where you are going. It's you. Your face is you. Your holiness is you. You go to work, you say, I'm going with you, Sam. I'm going with you, Joseph. It's the way of life. It's not the way of living in the church. It's not the way of talking to pastor. Hello, brother Jane. Yes, pastor. Yes, pastor. Hello, sister Jane. Yes, pastor. But when you come to work, hello, Jane. you give it back to them. But pastor, yes, pastor. Holiness has to be part of you. I'm not saying you should go to your work and start calling everybody brother. But that which comes from the heart, you understand? That the life, it's a way of life. It should go with you everywhere. You are sincere with pastor. You know, pastor asks a question, we answer with grace, we answer with submission, humility. You don't tell lies. But when they ask you a question and you are at a place of work, you tell a lie. How old are you? You tell lie. When they can even check rap six, you check it. You tell lie. How many children you have? You tell lie. What property do you have? You tell lie. But if pastor asks, he said, glory be to God. Pastor, I have a project in Africa, I have one here in Sweden. That what? You tell lie. Don't do that. Holiness has to be a way of life. God's with you everywhere. And the last one, your holiness has to be practical. Tell somebody close to you, your holiness has to be practical. Tell the person.
Your holiness has to be practical.
Oh, we'll get there and the Lord will teach us what to do. Amen. The first point, the first thing the Lord wants to write on the table of our hearts is perfect holiness, the will of triumph God for saints. Perfect holiness, the will of triumph God for saints. Come with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It is the will of God for us. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received the voice, how ye ought to work and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandment we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. This is the will of God. It is not the will of man. It is not the will of someone. It is the will of God. And do you know one thing? If it is the will of God, it is without eternity. If it is the will of man, you can make a choice. But it is the will of God. We want to lead a victorious Christian life. How many of us want to see God? But you want to see God? It is the will of God that if you want to see me, you must live a holy life. It is the standard of God. This is what God has prescribed for us. If we want to see Him. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. We're talking about perfect holiness, the will of God for saints. Perfect holiness, the will of God for saints. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That's the will of God. If you want to see me, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Like I said, it's the prescription of God if we want to live a healthy lifestyle. You know, as parents, as father, as mother, we often prescribe a way of life for our children because we want them to be the best they can ever be. We want them to contribute positively to the society. We want them to be meaningful in their generation. We want them to be greater than us. We tell them, do this, do that. You know, if you do this, it will help you. We start to teach them how to talk. We start to teach them how to read, because we know that will make them to be useful and to contribute meaningfully to the society. We start to prescribe some things for them. At times, we even influence them about the choice of their friends. You can work with that boy. Look at what he's doing. Look at what he's doing. We try to influence them as much as we can, not negatively, because we can see farther than them. We understand farther than them. As parents, we prescribe some things for our children. How about as doctors? Doctors prescribe drugs for patients. You know, there are some people that they have the problem of weight. They are overweighted, they're oversized. We call it obesity. And the basic doctors will tell them the kind of food they will eat. If you have ever seen those programs before, you know how difficult it is for those who are oversized to reduce their consumption. Doctor will tell them, this is the amount of calorie you can eat in a day. Come back and see me after 3 months if you follow this rule. Simple. This is the way, because doctors know for this person to live long, for this person to enjoy his life or her life, these are the things he must eat. The same thing God is telling us, giving us prescription for us to enjoy the benefits of God. Holiness is the prescription of God for us. We have to shed those things. Weight and besetting sin that are dragging us. Weight and besetting sin that are making us to be impure in the sight of God. Weight and besetting sin that are making our services not to be acceptable unto God. That are making our churches not to grow in the sight of God. That are serving as hindrance to the powerful manifestation of the power of God. We have to shed them. You go to visit a physiotherapist and you tell him, have back pain. He will recommend some exercises for you. Go to the gym 3 times in a day. You have to go for swimming. You know, stretch your body. This is how you should sit in the office. This is the kind of sofa you can have. He recommends some things for you. He prescribes some things for you because he knows that that is very important for your elder living. God is prescribing for us, for our elder living as Christians, for us to get the best of our life. Holiness is the key thing. Holiness is the key thing. Turn with me to the book of John chapter 17, verse 17 to 19. Jesus looked at his disciple. He said, one thing is needful, one thing is necessary. John chapter 17, verse 17 to 19. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. That's the will of God. Jesus was beseeching the Father, please sanctify these ones through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. That's the will of God. That's why Jesus gave himself for us. I've sanctified them through the truth. So that's the will of God for victorious living. His divine prescription for perfection, acceptance, and promotion. Do you know, after salvation, we are exalted to holiness of life through sanctification as believer. Our holiness, our sanctification is the will of God. Do you know, our parents, they have wills, they have wish, they have desire for our life. Do you know one thing they lack? They lack the power to make it happen. I don't know as many of us that got the full backup of our parents when we were growing up. At times our mothers would not eat because they want us to be fine. Because they want their desire to come to pass. Especially in the part of the world when things are not sufficient, things are not sufficient. Our fathers do not go, they don't mind going barefooted to send us to school. But they lack the power. They provide the moral backup, financial backup, and every other thing you think about, but they lack that power to make it happen. That is what distinguishes God from man. God has a will for us, and he also has the power to make it happen. It is the will of God. It can happen. Tell yourself it will happen in my life. Don't say it is too far away from me, even if it is the will of God. Have you ever seen some parents before? They are medical doctors and they feel this, my first son will be a medical doctor. And that's all by the grace of God. You know, he's a medical teacher. And the father will say, you will be a medical doctor. But the son is saying, my chemistry and my biology says I'm a teacher. Don't force me, daddy. The dad wishes, but doesn't have the power to make it happen. But God, he wishes, and he has the power to make it happen. God is not man that lacks the capacity to make things happen. He has the power to make us live a holy life. The only thing he's expecting from us is active cooperation by abiding in Christ Jesus. Active cooperation by making judicious use of the means of grace. Abraham lived a holy life. God called him in the book of Genesis chapter 17 verse 1. Abraham walked before me and be perfect. Walk before me. Walk before me in holiness. The same call God is giving unto us. 2018 is here now. Walk before me and be perfect. The will of God for you in 2018 is that you walk before him and be perfect. Jacob and his household, they were called to meet God at Bethel. Jacob looked at his household. Are we ready? He said, no, we are not ready. We have to give give up our idols. We have to give up our old lives. We need to come before God in holiness of mind. We are not the only one. Moses got a call from God, and God told him, you have to remove that shoe. What kind of shoe are you having? It's not the will of God for you to continue with that shoe. The shoe of the fornication, the shoe of the cheating, the shoe of lying, the shoe of disobedience, the shoe of deceiving others, cheating others, trampling on the head of others. God is saying, remove that shoe. It is my will for you to live a holy life. God, for us to please God, holiness is a key thing. That will lead us to the second subtopic. We've seen that holiness is the will of God. And God has the power to make us live a holy life. It is one thing for someone to have a wish, a will, a desire. It is another thing for that desire to be activated or to be brought to pass. The second thing we are looking is pure holiness, the way of life of truthful saints. The way of life of truthful saints. Let's go with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. We're talking about pure holiness, the way of life of truthful saints. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. You see, this holiness should be our way of life. This holiness should be our manner, our perspective, our approach in everything we do. You know, in the scripture, there are two manifestations of holiness. We have a manifestation according to the tradition of men, and we have another according to the truth of our Savior. According to the truth of our Savior. There is a dimension of holiness which is just outward. If you look at me, the way I dress, you know, the way I do things, the kind of color I like, to some people, that's a manifestation of holiness. Turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 23. Outward holiness and inward holiness. If you look at holiness, it's always on two sides. The devil or the enemy will come with a dimension of holiness as well. Say, but you are holy. What is that brother preaching? It says you were born again. You were holy. Or since the day your mother gave birth to you, you were holy. Okay, let's go to the scripture, Matthew chapter 23, verse 13. God wants us to understand genuine holiness, pure holiness, which is acceptable in the sight of God, not according to the tradition of man. Do you know, holiness according to the tradition of man is only outward. But divine holiness, which is according to the truth of our Savior, is inward. And you see the manifestation. If it starts from the externality, it can't go inside. It's impossible. But if it starts from inside, it will go outside. Matthew chapter 23, verse 13 to 29. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourself, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, for a pretense, making long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive a great damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. Verse 16. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple is a debtor. Verse 17. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctify the gold? Verse 18. And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctified the gift? Verse 20. Whosoever therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it, and by all things thereon. I read verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith, this ought ye to have done, and not to be. Verse 25, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Verse 27, which is going to be the last verse I'll read. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, for ye are like unto whited sepulchre, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of uncleanness. God is not calling us to this kind of life, making long prayers. But my holiness is by, I don't drink with a cup which is dirty outside. That's not the holiness God is calling us about. It's not our holiness which is based on self. No, it's our holiness which is centered on our Savior. It is not our loud holiness. Do you know some holiness are loud? Very, very loud. But God is calling us to our low holiness. Our holiness which is not loud. Some people say they are holy. How do you know? They speak in tongues a lot. Blah, blah, blah. That's what they do to show that they are holy. God is saying that's not. If you say you speak with diverse tongues and the love is not part of your life, scripture says you are just like a sounding cymbal. Some form of holiness are deceitful. They don't do anything. They only deceive others. That's not the holiness God is calling us to. The holiness that wants to be served. I'm holy because I want people to serve me. I want people to respect me. That's not the holiness God is calling us unto. The holiness that is selfish. Everything he does for himself. The holiness he's living is for his own self. He wants to be respected. He wants to be honored. He wants to be highly esteemed. That's not the holiness God is calling us unto. Mark chapter 7, verse 6 to 8. Mark chapter 7, verse 6 to 8. Pure holiness, the way of life of truthful saints. The way of life of truthful saints. Do you know it is holiness that differentiates between the children of God and the children of Satan? Between the children of the kingdom and the children outside the kingdom of God. Between the children of light and darkness. Mark, the book of Mark, chapter 7, verse 6 to 8. I read from there. Mark chapter 7, verse 6 to 8. And he answered and said unto them, well, have the seers prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, these people honoured me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Albeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines, for commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and curbs, and many other such things ye do. God is saying that's not what makes you to be holy. It's not even your tithe that makes you to be holy. The Pharisees, they did the same thing. God said, you are hypocrites. This is not what I demand or I command from you. Brethren, we have to check our life very well. God wants us to live a life of holiness. He wants it to be our way of living. He wants it to be our daily way of doing things. You know, salvation is a wonder from God. The same way, life of holiness is also a wonder from God as well. Pure holiness is not a weakness. It is not ignorance. It is not laziness. It is not illiteracy, as men will term it. Pure holiness is not religion. It is not good moral, as Pharisee taught. Simply, holiness entails two things. First, definite separation and withdrawal from sins and evil appearances. And the second thing is giving all unto the Lord. You separate from something and you give all unto God. You know, it is like a man who gets married. You know, before he used to share his love with several girls, several ladies. But the day he took the marriage vow, he said, no, I'm taking it from her and I'm giving it just to one person. That's what we give when we get married. You know, he said, even my mama that gave birth to me, I'm taking it from you. I'm giving it to this lady. Mama, you want something? Pray for this lady. If she permit me, I will do it. That's why we need to marry right. The same thing with the sister. You take your love from her. You give it to, when we give our life to Jesus, we start to live our holy life. That is what we are doing. We take everything from wherever we are giving it or whosoever we are giving it, and we give to God. Separation and withdrawal from sin and appearances. So even if the whole society is doing it, and I can't do it, this is what Joseph did. He saw a free chance. Something he would have done and go outside the next day. Do you know, I caught it was a very great fish I caught yesterday. Very nice fish. The fish that my master has been taking care of, he got into my hand. I didn't let it go. He would have been proud saying it to his side. He said, no, I can't do that. I've given my all to God. That's what we should do. Something comes tempting us. He said, no, I'm my only brother. I'm my only sister. My pastor is not here. My wife is not here. I can't do that and sin against my God. I've given my body to God. I've given my gift to God. I've given my time to God. I've given my resources to God. I've withdrawn from the world and I've given myself to God. The expectation of God from us is pure holiness. Do not pretend. God sees you. Don't pretend. Maybe you want to tell it to God today. I want to stop pretending. I'm not there yet. I want to give my totality unto you, and I want to give everything in its entirety unto you. That will lead us to the first subtopic. Number one, we've seen that it is the will of God, and God has the power. Number two, we see it is the way of the believer, and it is different from how it has been done in the world. It is different from how the Pharisees used to do it. We receive the power from God. We receive the ability from God. We receive the grace from God. It entails two things, separating from the world and giving our all unto God. The final thing, which is very important as a church, practical holiness with transparency among true saints. We are going to practical class now. Theory, very good. How many of us are good in theory? Very good. I know you are all good in theory. But practical, that's a little bit difficult. I remember when we were young, we go for chemistry class, and our teacher will do some theory, give us some laws. We start to crack our head. These laws are difficult. We count them. That's not difficult. But teacher will tell us it. Next week we are going for practical class. You need to practice what you have done. The same thing happened. I remember when I was taking driving lessons. Theory, very good. I even took it in a language I was not familiar with. Very good. It's always at once. Pam. Good. But when it comes to practical, brother, I needed prayer and fasting. The practical was more difficult. Yeah? First time the man was saying, no, not enough. But in the practical, the theory was good. Said, no, this is theory. Different from practical. This is theory. Theory is not good enough. Second time the man was saying, no, you have tried? You know? You really tried. I didn't expect that from you, but that was not enough. I won't tell you how many times I tried. The only thing I will tell you is a testimony. I have the cash. God is saying, it doesn't matter how much you try. He's ready to help you, but you must try it. That's the important thing. You can't tell the transport students, hey, do you know my score in theory? 63 over 63. I don't need practical. They will tell you, we don't need 63, we only need 52 or 53. The rest is for you. Just put that in your pocket. Practical, you have to go there. And the practical, they won't ask you, what was your score? 60. That was good. Just take a reverse and let's go back. They won't ask you that. Practical, they start from the beginning. They start from the beginning. Do you know the bonnet? Can you open the bonnet? Okay. That's very good. Very, very good. Come in, let's start. Reversed. You thought you are going back? No, you're just starting. Do you know this location? We are driving there. We are not going there again. We are going to the right. We are not going there again. We are going to the left. Stop here. Reverse. And they continue to do that. We are going for the practical class. God wants us to go for practical holiness class as well. Do you know holiness produces something in the practical session? Transparency. Transparency. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 6 to 8. First Thessalonians chapter 4. Practical holiness with transparency among true brethren. Brethren, we can't all be holy, and we can we refuse to see transparency here. No, it's not possible. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 6 to 8. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 6 to 8. Yes, chapter 4, verses 2 to 8, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also are for one Jew and testify, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Brethren, holiness makes a man to be transparent. Holiness makes a husband to be transparent. Holiness makes a wife to be transparent. Holiness makes an employee to be transparent. Holiness makes a brother to be transparent. Brother, you're always telling everybody you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm thinking. You don't know what is happening. That's your national anthem. You don't know. Brother, you don't know. Is your transparency? Tell us what we don't know. This is what some people repeat every time. You don't know, you don't know. Please, we are ready to be known. Be open, be transparent. Don't defraud your brother. Some people, they are very, very good. They are like me in theory, very good. But let's transport the rest of the let's go for practical. Problem has come. Their own practical is money. Don't go into money with them, because that's where the problem is. Not transparent at all. Brother, how much do you earn? Okay, do you know I work 24 hours in a day? How much do you earn? Do you know it's a very good paying job? How much do you earn? When it comes to money, they don't disclose search. You borrow them money, they never return it. They're not transparent. Brother, can I get 4,000 from you? At the end of this month, they will pay me double. You're not transparent. You sometimes, you know, as pastor do and undo. Pastor doesn't have money. He goes to another brother, can you borrow us money? We need to pay our house rent. They will give us double salary this month. And pastor go ahead and borrows the money and leaves that brother, so that brother will not be sent out of his apartment. 24th, nothing is coming. 25th, not maybe they pay them this at their place of work. 26th, no call, no money. 27th, no money, no call. 29th, nothing. 31st, nothing. Maybe the end ends 32nd. Let's give one more day. Nothing. You can't even give a call, no transparency. Pastor, I couldn't make it at the end of this month. We'll try again next month. The pastor will see what he can do. Money issue. Very important. Transparent. He's having a project here. He projected. The wife doesn't even know. Said I'm a secret fellow. And you have a project everywhere. Your wife doesn't know. Are you having a project with your mommy? Are you having a project with your family? Your wife doesn't know. Your wife doesn't know how much you earn. Well, that's a family matter. Amen. You don't know how the family finance is going. You're not transparent with issue. My dear, we are going for a trip. Just send 10,000 crowns to my account. I'll fix everything. And after fixing it, you will spend only 8,000 crowns. We should be divided for 4,000 crowns. And you are taking 4,000, 6,000 crowns from your own wife. So people do that to their spouse. Not to talk of outsider. I can help you to get a job. Just come, I'll get a job for you. You get the job for that brother, the job pays like 10,000 crowns. You can only give it the person who is using his sweat. 4,000. And you are earning more than the one going for the job, taking another man's sweat. Transparency. Holiness. And when they say holiness, you are the first person raising up your hand. But when it comes to money, it's going down. We have to be holy, and this holiness must be transparent. Lie. How about lie? You can tell a lie and a dead person will rise up and say, no, that is not true. Every other thing you said is true, but this is not true. And if you are holy, no, it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen that way. That was it, but maybe you don't know in the scripture, there was a man called Onesimus in the scripture. He suffered his master. He suffered. The case went to, the case took him to prison. And he met Paul in the prison. His life turned around. Philemon, verse 11. Philemon, verse 10 and 11. He was not living in a transparent life before. He was living in the house of a believer. I don't know if Onesimus was attending the house fellowship in the house of the Philemon. I don't know. Maybe he was part of them. He said, let everybody praise the Lord now. I will praise him every day. Philemon, I am holy and holy. He was there doing everything with all of them. But Onesimus, don't put your money close to him. You are finished. You won't find it back the way you left it. Let's look at Onesimus. He was not transparent. You know, his master can't differentiate between his yes and no. His master was really skeptical about him, full of doubt. The book of Philemon, chapter 1, verse 10. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have gotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. Maybe you are in similar shoes. You're not profitable to your boss. You're always cheating your boss. You work 10 hours and you tell your boss you've worked 15 hours. You work 2 hours, you tell your boss you work 15 hours. So our pastor, you don't know the condition. The condition is really tight and difficult. You know, we have to do it like that, pastor. You know, you can't do it like that. You can't be married to holiness and still be married to that kind of life. We have to be transparent. People have to understand us. Come with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 37. Onesimus was such a dangerous fellow, very unprofitable. But when he met Paul, his life turned around. His holiness was now with transparency. Brethren, we are going into the practical class of holiness. God is expecting you and I to be holy. Let me ask you a question. Look at the person sitting beside you. Do you think if they need Auditor General at a place of work, do you think you can recommend that person? Look at the person sitting close to you. Do you think we heard stories about Deepala Babi Church when it just started, when they are looking for faithful people to employ, they come to the church and say, we need somebody to employ. Can you please give us a brother? You know, these days you look at the church around, faithful brother? Oh Lord. Don't know what that brother will do when it comes there. We have to change. Let there be transparency. Deceit, no. Lie, no. Let God be happy about our life. Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. But let your communication be yea, yea. Your nay, nay. For whosoever is more than this, whatsoever is more than this, cometh of evil. Let your yea be yea. He said, you don't know, when I say yea, it's always a differentiated yea. It's an integrated yea. What is that? Where did you get that from? People can't easily interpret what you mean. But you said that on phone, that is not what I meant. You didn't understand me very well. I was speaking in Proverbs. We shouldn't be like that. We shouldn't be like, I thought you said you promised me that phone. No, I didn't promise you. I didn't promise you. Brother, I really need your help. I can't help you. You've forgotten the scripture. If it is in your capacity to help, and you say no, that's not good. That's not scriptural. That's not scriptural. As brethren yield themselves to God's will for only living, there's a practical reflection in their lives, in their services, in their ministry, in their families, in their opinions. We become transparent in all matters. No more unnecessary diplomacy. No. Not yes, not no. No more lying. No more hypocrisy. No more deceit. No more anger. No more indifference. No more cover-ups. Now we are sincere with God. We are sincere with men. We are open. Let's be open. You know, when we are open, you ask Brother James, what do you think about this case? You give him an answer, funny. He goes to brother, sister, Sir Janet. This is the case. How will you advise me? He says the same thing. Our words become the same. We shouldn't hide things. God sees us. God wants us to live a holy life. He wants our holiness to be practical. Fear, suspicion, and distrust, we have no room in our midst. The book of Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. There was a family in that book of Acts chapter 5. They said, ha ha, holiness. Let's gather with the people of God. They are only, let's join them. It seems that it's prestigious to be part of this category. And in those days, people were bringing what they have. This is all I have, Pastor. Please manage it, share it with the other brethren. This is what I have, Pastor. Manage it, share it with other brethren. And you know what they are? When they came, they also brought something. They said, Pastor, you see, this is all we have. In fact, we don't have food again. We emptied our account to bring this. Pastor, we don't even know how we are going to survive tomorrow, but they were lying. It wasn't true. They wanted to live as other people. They have no genuine encounter. Holiness, they were not transparent. They had something behind. They were hiding something from God. God sees everything. Why do we need to hide from Him? It's better you tell Pastor, I have a lot of people noticing. I say, Pastor, you see, myself and my wife, we have to empty our account to give this offering. It is the last penny we got in our household. That's not transparency. That is not the product of holiness. This is what Ananias and Sapphira did. Others were selling what they had. They also sold what they had, but they gave just the half of it. And they lied. They lied. Holiness wants to make verse 2, chapter 5, verse 2. And kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part, and laid it at the apostles' feet. For Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep part of the price of the land? That was the problem, the lie to the Holy Ghost. Do you know, when we are holy, it becomes practical, and we are transparent. People don't need to read in between the lines. What we say, we do. What we do, we say. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. This is what leads to glorious manifestation of the Lord's power in the midst of God's people. As for us, if you're expecting corporate growth, if you're expecting personal fulfillment, holiness is a key thing. You want to go before the Lord? Here I am, O Lord. I'm not hiding anything from you. Make me holy. Lord, make me holy. Lord, make me holy. Lord, make me an instrument of holiness. Let me live a holy life. I receive that grace. It's your nature. I receive that nature. Lord, I receive that nature to be holy. Lord, I receive that nature to be holy. I want to be transparent in all my dealings, transparent with my wife, transparent with my children. Lord, I want to be transparent with my pastors. I want to be transparent with my employers. Lord, I don't want to deceive my employers any longer. I don't want to deceive. I don't want to lie. I don't want to cover up. Lord, make my vessel a holy vessel. Help me to bear my vessel in sanctification. Lord, to present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before you. Lord, the old lives are gone. They won't find manifestation in me any longer. I used to be a liar, and then I succumbed to this lying regime. I used to be a supplanter. I deceive a lot. I've been deceiving my wife. Lord, please help me to stop all of this. It's difficult for me to be faithful in money matter. Lord, I'm transparent in all things, but money, I'm still weak in that regard. Please help me, Lord. Create in me a new heart and renew your spirit within me. Let's sing that song together as we round up. Create in me a clean heart,
O Lord, and renew thy spirit within me.
Let's stand up on our feet as we sing.
Create in me a clean heart, O Lord.
Thank you, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.